Hey, good morning. My name is Sten, and if this is your first time here with us, I'm the pastor here at Mid-Current Church, and we are so glad to have you here with us for this start of our regular weekly services. Every Sunday at 10 a.m., we'll be right here at Camp St. Croix, rain or shine, sun, or polar vortex. Our doors will be open to you, to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your favorite barista at Starbucks. Our doors will be open to you, and we could not be more excited about it. I'm excited today to start a three-week series that we're calling Busted. You saw a little bit about it there, but we really do believe, I'll say it again, we really do believe with everything that we are, we believe that the local church is the hope of the world, that there might not be any organization with as much potential to change the world for good than the local church. At the same time, we also believe that sometimes it's getting a little bit hard to know what to believe about church. And so we want to take just the next 3 weeks. Honestly, we could probably take the next 3 months or 3 years, probably. But we're going to take just the next 3 weeks to see if we can't bust some of the myths or some of the misunderstandings that you might have about church. Because if we're not careful, I think that we can get confused. We can get a little turned around sometimes. I get confused that church is maybe something that it's not. And the truth is, even I'm not immune to this trap. See, it was on May 1st of this past year that I officially became the lead pastor of Hudson's soon-to-be, at the time, newest church, Mid-Current Church. And this had been a vision and a picture on my mind and on my heart for so long. And so I was pumped. I could not wait to get started. I could not wait to start rolling things out. I had big dreams, and I had big plans in my mind. But in those early days, and actually even on into the summer months, you might be surprised to know how I spent a significant amount of my time. I wasn't leading Bible studies. I wasn't performing weddings. I wasn't preparing messages and speaking to masses. I wasn't down at the town hall shaking hands and kissing babies. I actually spent a significant amount of my time cruising all around town in this hot rod right here. I was cruising around town in search of the very first place that Mid-Current Church would call home. This was a real important, a real significant piece of planting a church. And so it was summer, and so I opened the sunroof on that puppy. Yes, it has a sunroof. And I rolled the windows down until the flapping sound of some loose belt against the hood of my car got too loud and too annoying. So then I rolled the windows back up, and I drove all around town. I drove from north to south, from east to west, from downtown to just outside of town, to the old Perkins building, to the old dog track, which was just a little bit out of our league. All right, I drove to elementary schools, to storefronts along exit 4, along Carmichael Road, to the old Hudson Golf Course clubhouse and beyond. Day in and day out, I'd pull up alongside of these vacant storefronts and these businesses, and right there from the driver's seat of my car, sitting on the side of the road, I'd call the numbers of these property managers and these real estate brokers. I'd call the numbers and the names that I saw on the signs in the window. In most places, they were either already under contract, they were way too expensive, or they were way too small, or way too out of the way, or they were just way too, I'm not putting a church in there. And so most of these calls ended up in a lot of dead-end calls. My favorite conversation, actually, this is just a little aside, my favorite conversation was with a certain real estate broker who I had called and finally just asked for some advice and some insight on real estate and on finding space in Hudson. And he gave me a heads up that some of these property managers, some of these real estate brokers can be pretty cutthroat, he warned me. These guys can be pretty cutthroat. So when I had mentioned that I had some legal professionals who could look over contracts or aid in negotiations, I had some professionals in my corner who could step in if necessary. He said, yeah, that's probably good. My brother's a pastor. Most of you are pretty nice guys. The dude didn't even know me. But apparently he didn't think my negotiating skills were up to par. Never before did being called a nice guy feel like such an insult. But that's all right. That's beside the point. I just share all of this to give you a little picture, a little window into my summer and into my unending search for a place to set up shop. A search that ultimately led us right here to Camp St. Croix, the very first place that Mid-Current Church does call home. And let me be clear, I love this place. I think it's great. For as long as this place works for us, whether that's 3 months or maybe 3 years, I think it's awesome. It's a great place. But the truth is, even when we discovered how well it could work, it was never a slam dunk that this place would work out, that it would be home for us. Never a slam dunk. Even as our very first preview service was approaching this last fall, there was still some doubt in my mind. There were still a number of details. There were still a number of questions that we were waiting for answers. There were still details that we were waiting to iron out before we got the go-ahead with this space right here. And I'll be honest with you, I was nervous. I'm moving forward confidently, but inside, I was nervous. Because I was a church planter, and I had rallied a team of people around me, and I had so charmingly and inspirationally and convincingly told these people that we were going to start a church together, and that we were going to open our doors wide to the entire St. Croix River Valley area, and it was going to be incredible. But we were missing at the time one very important thing, a building. Even as that very first preview service was just right around the corner, we didn't have any doors to fling open wide to anybody. We were a church, and we needed a building. They kind of go hand in hand, right? Church, building. We were a church. We needed a building. Church, building. Any church that's real has a building, right? Any church that's worth going to in the Midwest when it's minus whatever degrees, any church that's worth going to has a building for you to step inside of. Am I right? I think most of us would agree to that, but that's actually what I want to talk a little bit about today in this very first week of this series called Busted. Because you see, what even I was getting sucked into, so easy to do. What even I was getting sucked into was the lie or the myth or maybe just the slight misunderstanding or the slight confusion that church is a building. I was getting sucked into this misunderstanding maybe that that's the most important thing, that the church is just a building. Have you ever had that understanding before? You ever felt like that was true about church for you, or know people who have felt like that was true about church for them, that it's just a building? Right? There's signs all over town that point in the direction of this church or that church, right? Churches are on every corner in Hudson and every city in the world, and each one of them is just a building. It's just a place that you go. It's just a place that you check into on Facebook. It's just a place that you check off of your religious to-do list every week. And we think, great, got that taken care of. We went to church. We put on clothes that we don't wear any other day of the week for church. We drove to church. We sat in church today. Right, I think for so many people in our world and in our country, and maybe right even here in our own hometown, it's really easy. This was happening to me. It's really easy to start to believe that church, it's nothing more than just a building. One that most people probably assume sits empty Monday through Saturday. It's just a place you go. It's just a place that you walk into and then you walk out of to get on with the rest of real life, to get on with the rest of your week. If that describes any bit of your understanding now or at some point in your life, if that describes any bit of your understanding, I'm not terribly surprised. And in some ways, I don't even necessarily blame you for getting that understanding. But what I want to suggest today is that maybe that's not quite what it's all about. That a church actually isn't a building at all. And that as long as we think that, as long as that's our understanding, we'll be missing out on something far more significant. Now, let me be clear before I move on. A building is important. I'm not trying to say that. A building is important to a church for a number of different reasons. That actually provides a place to gather, a place to step inside, which I said on a morning like this, I want to go to a church where I'm walking indoors, right? So a church is important, right? It provides a space. It provides resources that hopefully enhance a person's ability to connect with one another, to connect with or to encounter or even to worship God more. The design and the architecture of a building, whether it's traditional or modern, it maybe sends a message to you, sends a message to others about where that they may or not fit or what a church maybe feels like is more or less important, and all that stuff is important to me. I want to leverage all of that stuff to create a place in a church that would do everything that it can to reach people for Jesus, right? So a building is incredibly important to church. I'm not saying that, but a building isn't a church. And it's not, and it can't be the most important thing, or at least it can't be for Mid-Current Church. It's something different. It's something better, in my opinion. It's something more exciting, something more compelling. And this morning, I want to uncover what it is. What it is that could be more exciting, what it is that could be more compelling or even more inviting to be a part of than the biggest, the nicest, the most impressive-looking church building. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to turn back the clock to more than 2,000 years ago when church didn't quite even exist yet. In fact, we're going to turn to the very first time that the word church is even mentioned in the Bible. Very first time that Jesus even used the word church, and he does so in an interaction with his 12 closest buddies, his 12 followers, the ones that we call his disciples. And what he says to them in this conversation, from the very start of it all, I think it may help us to get a better handle, to get a clear picture on what church really is and what it isn't. So if you would, we're going to look at the book of Matthew chapter 16 as Matthew writes about this interaction. He was just a guy that lived in that day and saw and heard and experienced what was happening around him, and he wrote about it. He wrote about it in a letter that's now titled after himself. So in the book of Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start reading in verse 13. Here's what Matthew writes. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Jesus wants to know, do people really understand who I am? I mean, he knows his mission. He knows why he came to earth. And so he wants to know, do other people, do they get it? Do other people know who I am and what it is that I came for? Verse 14, well, the disciples replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." But then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" He's asking his 12 now, his 12 closest guys. He wants to know, they've been with him, they've walked alongside of him. He wants to know, who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replies, bingo, you really get it, don't you, Simon? Okay, I think that's what he's getting at. That's not what he says technically. Here's what he really says. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Then verse 18, Jesus says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." I love that. There's actually a cathedral in Chicago that I had a chance to visit every now and again for a few different reasons, and it has that inscribed high up on the rafters. I'm always in awe of it. It makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, makes goosebumps ripple up and down my arm. "On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." That's such a powerful statement. It's such a powerful picture, but really it's more than that. Because when we look at it just a little bit closer, it helps us to begin to uncover what church maybe really is, what Jesus was getting at from the very beginning. And there's really two important pieces in this verse, in this statement that I want us to look really, really closely at this morning. There's two pieces that will be most important to us. The first is this. Let me just start by looking at this rock that Jesus intends to build his church. It sounds cool. It's a powerful statement. It's a nice tweetable soundbite. But it begs the question to me, maybe it does to you. If you really think about it, it begs the question, what rock is he referring to? What is he intending to build on? Were they standing on some giant rock or boulder? Was there some space nearby? Was some sturdy foundation nearby that Jesus thought looked ideal for construction? Was there some local rock quarry that looked about the right size and had the proper musty aroma for the first ever church basement? No. The rock didn't have anything to do with concrete, didn't have anything to do with basements, didn't have anything to do with construction or building material. The rock was Peter. Let me show you. See, our Bible in the New Testament, these letters that were written by these guys thousands of years ago, here's a spoiler alert, they weren't written in English. Right? These guys spoke and they wrote in a different language. So if we read what they actually wrote, the language they actually use, we read something different. And here's what we'd see. We'd see that the word for rock, he says, on this rock I will build my church. The word for rock was Petra. And the name for Peter was the same word, Petros, just had a different ending for a masculine name. But it was the same word, Petra. Petra was rock, and Peter was Petra. So if we read this verse as it was written, as Jesus actually spoke it before it was translated for us, we'd read it like this. Now I say to you, Jesus is saying, now I say to you that you are Petra. You're not Simon any longer. You are Peter. You are Petra. And on this Petra, I'll build my church. On this rock that is you, Peter, I will build my church. And so what this tells me is this, that the foundation, I mean, this is where it all began. So this is what it tells me, that the foundation of the church, it wasn't poured concrete, it wasn't stone, it wasn't wooden support beams or cinder blocks. The foundation, the very thing that this was built on, the foundation of the church was Peter's understanding of who Jesus really was. It's something that Jesus says only came about because of God's activity, God's working in Peter, in a person. Remember, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, for this is something that God revealed to you. God was at work. God was at work in Peter, and because of that, Peter became the rock that the church was built on. It was God's activity, God's doing, God's work in a man, in his people, that was the very foundation of the church. That's what it was built on. That was the foundation of it all. But now what about church itself? This too is a word that requires us to take a closer look. And it's the second piece of this verse that I said that I wanted us to look at that would be helpful to us this morning. That word church, in the same language that these guys used, the word church was ekklesia. It's used about 110 times in the New Testament, and here's how it's defined. Here's how that word, every time it's defined. Number one, it's defined as a gathering of citizens into some public space. It's an assembly of what? Cinder blocks? No, it's an assembly of people convened at a public place. Other definitions go on to call it a company of men or of women or other forms of an assembly or in a gathering of certain people in certain places. There's not one mention of buildings or walls or floors or ceilings or red carpets or long padded benches called pews. No matter which way you slice it, ekklesia, this word that to us meant church, it was people. It was people. And so when you add this all up, here's what we learned, that the church is people and was built on the foundation of God's activity in people. You see that? The church literally, it was people and it was built on the foundation of God's activity in people, starting with Peter. As helpful and important and as useful as they can be, and as I hope they will be for Midcurrent, a church has nothing to do with the buildings, with the ceilings, with the floors, or the walls, or the front doors. And so here's what I want you to know. Because I don't want to just tell you what it's not. I want to tell you what it is, what it's all about. So here's the one big thought that I would love for you to walk away with today. Here's the one thing that I would love for you to carry out of this place with you here today, thinking about how it impacts you. If the church is not a building, but it's people, here's what I want you to know. We don't go to church. We are the church. You don't go to a church. You are the church. And for those of us who just like Peter, have an understanding of who Jesus really is, which that may not be all of us here this morning. I recognize that. There may be some here today that don't totally share that belief. If that's true, I'm still glad that you're here, right? In a lot of ways, you can take a pass at what I'm getting at. You're welcome to join in and play along with us, but you're also welcome to take a pass. But for those of us who really do know who Jesus is and what he came to do and what he did for us, we are the church. And it doesn't exist for us. We exist for the world. We exist to reach one more person for Jesus, so that they too might come to an understanding of who he is. We exist to teach one more person to live more like he did, to support one more person's battle with addiction or depression, to strengthen, if best we can, one more family or one more marriage, to fill one more backpack or to fill one more empty stomach in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't go to church. We are the church. And we exist for the world because the church is people and it was built on the foundation of God's work in people, in you and me. And I can get excited about the possibilities. I can get excited about the potential of that way more than any building. The question is, what does that mean? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Because I hope that it means something. But it might mean different things to different people here this morning. I think what's true of all of us here, I think what's true of all of us is that we know what it's like to experience, or maybe some are experiencing right now. We know what it's like to experience heavy burdens in life, of fear, of addiction, of hurt, of loss, or of heartache, or a marriage on the rocks, or depression, or deteriorating joy, or a cloudy a sense of purpose, or a lacking sense of value and belonging in life. I think we all know what it's like to feel that. And in the midst of that, maybe some are here this morning who have never heard, never seen, never experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. You never considered that his life or his teaching might be the playbook for your life. If that's you, what I'd want to say is I'm glad you're here. What I want you to know is that our doors aren't closed to you. In many ways, we've designed a lot of what we do with you in mind. We're not better than you. We're not smarter than you. We're not more successful than you are. We just believe the grace and the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. We believe that how he lived and what he taught and the example he set is the playbook, that it is the perfect blueprint for our lives and for the very same challenges, for the very same ups and downs that we encounter in life. And so we do all this because we'd love to have some type of relationship. We'd love to build a relationship with you and have influence in your life in hopes that at some point you might embrace that news that we believe to be the best news ever. Others of you here this morning, though, you do know. In the midst of all those very same challenges, you do know, you do believe, you do understand who Jesus is and what he's done and his life and his teaching and his example. It is the playbook that you're trying to put into play into your life. And what I want to say to you again and again and again is this: you don't go to church, you are the church. And you exist for the world, you exist for others around you, the people that are within your area of influence every day. You exist to share both good deeds in the name of Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ. You exist to share both of those things with the friends and the family and the coworkers and the neighbors, the people behind you or next door to you or across the street from you. We exist to share those things in the name of Jesus Christ with everyone around us every day, the people we have influence over every single day. Now, are we or are you perfect and in need of nothing from the church, that you don't have a need or a care in the world? No, that's not true. Do you still need the support and the teaching and the encouragement and the friendship of a local church? Absolutely you do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's more to it. There's more to it. There's not just an open seat for you. There's a spot on the team for you. A spot that only you can fill. It's not just about whether you like this style or that style, or whether you personally prefer X, Y, or Z. Right? In the words of a pastor who I read and listen to often, his name is Craig Rochelle, he says, we're not spiritual consumers, we're spiritual contributors. I like that. We're not spiritual consumers, we're spiritual contributors. And what I'd add to that is we're contributing to the activity of God, not in a building, but we're contributing to the activity of God in people around us every single day. A building, it's important to a church, and I pray for the day that we got a big, giant one of our own. Building is important to a church, but it isn't a church, and it certainly isn't the most important thing. It's not just a place for you to show up, a place to visit on Sunday, although I hope that you would be here every chance that you get. It's not just a place to check into on Facebook, although if you wanted to do that, I would not stop you. It's not just a place that offers free childcare for an hour on Sunday mornings, although I hope that you would take advantage of the awesome team that we have and the experience that they've created and the fun and the learning that is happening in Mid-Current Kids. It's not just another place, another option that has a different kind of music or a different kind of coffee or a different type of experience, although we want to create the best experience that we can here for you so that you could genuinely encounter God more, to connect with God more, to worship more of our great God. A building is incredibly important to a church, but it's so much more than that. Because we don't go to church, we are the church, and we exist for the world. And when we get that right, Jesus says the gates of hell don't have a fighting chance. So while I do hope more than anything, while I do hope that people all across this region, from Hudson to Holton to Osceola to New Richmond to Somerset to Hammond or Roberts or Baldwin or River Falls to Lakeland or Stillwater, while I do hope more than anything for people all over this region to know who we are, I'm not sure that I'm ever going to add a sign for Mid-Current Church out on the street corners in Hudson that are already overcrowded with arrows pointing in every direction. Because at the end of the day, I hope that Mid-Current Church is known and recognized for a whole lot more than where the arrows point across town. I'm hoping that we're known as some of the best people that this town has ever seen. I'm hoping and I'm praying that we are known and that we are recognized as people whose impact on their families and on their communities and on their schools and their workplaces and on their neighborhoods. I'm hoping that we're known and recognized as people whose impact is profound and undeniable and isn't limited to a single building or a single day of the week. I'm hoping and praying that we be recognized as people who have that kind of impact on the world around us. And I'm praying and I'm hopeful that more and more of you might be included in those very people who are Mid-Current Church, representing Jesus Christ in this community. Let me pray. God, God, we give you thanks once again for this place, for this church, God, and for a picture of something, God, that you have had in the works for way longer than any of us do. And we give you thanks for this place, God, for this building, for the answer that it is to our prayers as a church plant, opening our doors to this community, God. We're grateful for a space to gather, to come together, to set our sights and our attention and our hearts on you. God, I hope that that has happened here this morning, and I hope that it continues to happen week in and week out. God, and I pray that you would just stir in us, God, a real sense of what church is all about, God. For maybe for some of us here this morning, it's getting a whole new understanding, God. Maybe this morning kind of flipped the script, helped some light bulbs to go off to say, wow, maybe I had the wrong idea all along. God, in whatever way possible, in whatever way you can, work in our hearts and in our lives, God. Encourage us and inspire us and empower us to be the church in this community, God, in this region. So that because of who we are, because of the impact that we have, that not just that people would get to know us, God, but that people would come to know who you are. God, I pray that through our support and encouragement and the good deeds that we do for those that we love and for those around us, God, I pray that the good news that we share with them too, God, will help them to come to know who you are in a real way. So God, we ask for your help in doing that. We're grateful for the people that you have sent our way to begin building this church, God, for the talent and the brilliance that exists among us, God, but we can't do this on our own. We can't. And so we ask for your help, for your encouragement, for your inspiration, for your leading, for your guidance, and for your wisdom as we seek to do all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, thanks for this morning and this chance to be together. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.